A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord God said to me, "As for you, son of man, obey me when I speak to you. Be not rebellious like this house of rebellion, but open your mouth and eat what I shall give you." It was then I saw a hand stretched out to me, in which was a written scroll, which he unrolled before me. It was covered with writing front and back, and written on it was lamentation and wailing and woe. He said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. "Son of man," he then said to me, "feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll I am giving you." I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. He said, "Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." The word of the Lord. How sweet to my taste is your promise. In the way of your decrees I rejoice, as much as in all riches. Yes, your decrees are my delight, they are my counselors. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. How sweet to my palate are your promises, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your decrees are my inheritance forever, the joy of my heart they are. I gasp with open mouth in my yearning for your commands.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name, receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, Will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost. Verbum Domini. We welcome Father Greg Gerhardt from the Diocese of Austin, Texas. He is a vocation director, has been for 4 years. He's been ordained 8 years. And he's going to be on the Life on the Rock program. It's going to be a recorded version that will air later with our friars, talking about his book, Discernment 180, on discerning vocation to priesthood or religious life. So those of you who may feel some prompting toward priesthood or religious life, this might be the book for you. He was saying that it's helped especially their prayer in the diocese for vocations to bring about a rise in the numbers. They have 24 seminarians presently at the Diocese of Austin. One of the ways in which we are to enter into the scriptures, the word of God, and today we had that prophetic vision of Ezekiel, where you see this scroll, and it's sweet. And our psalm today spoke about the sweetness of God's promises, of his word. How sweet to my palate are your promises, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But one of the ways that we are to enter into the scriptures, the sacred scriptures, and especially the gospels, is to place ourselves in that event. And so today, think about that event of our Lord and what we hear yesterday. They had gone to Capernaum. So Capernaum was in north of Jerusalem in Galilee, and it was on the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was where Peter's house was. That's often where they would stay. It was near the synagogue where Jesus delivered John chapter 6, what we know as today, the Bread of Life discourse. And so yesterday we had the account how Peter is approached by those who were collecting the temple tax. Well, does your master pay the temple tax? And Jesus says, well, go catch a fish. And you'll find a coin in its mouth, and that would be twice the temple tax for you and for me. And then today we have this event where the disciples are gathered listening to Jesus, obviously. I'd like to think it was later in that day, perhaps. And you had the light of just a fire or maybe some candles. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And so the questions, they'd be asking questions along the way. Well, what's it like? What's the kingdom of heaven like? Well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus so often uses illustrations because, you know, the way that we remember things is the visual through our imagination or seeing something as a way that we can retain things. And so what does Jesus do when they ask that question? And obviously there were families there, at least one family that had children that were also there listening to Jesus. And he calls a child over. Imagine that the child's name is Samuel. Samuel, come over here. So little Samuel comes over. And what does Jesus say? He says, amen, I say to you, unless you turn, some translations, be converted, and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And what's one of the attributes that he brings out of children? Whoever becomes humble, like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then whoever receives one child, such as this in my name, receives me. Perhaps, as it's related in the Gospels in another place, he embraced this child. Whoever receives one such child as this receives me. You know, the question we could ask is, who was the most that fulfilled these words of Jesus? Well, it's Jesus himself. So he had this childlikeness, this humility. He empties himself because he himself exhibits these characteristics so predominantly in his own life. So we're called to imitate this as well in the life of Jesus. So I wanted to speak a bit about spiritual childhood. And yesterday I had the blessing, you know, Joseph, our server here, his father is one of the producers for EWTN, Michael. And so he always invites me when they're doing some production in the studio to say a blessing for the blessing on the particular production. Well, they're doing some Chesterton programs. You've probably seen some of the Chesterton with actors and acting out how they're going to portray some of the words of Chesterton. And so I brought along this little book that I've been reading again by my favorite professor in seminary, John Sayward. I had him in seminary. And he wrote a book about called The Way of the Lamb. Unfortunately, it's no longer in print. You can find used copies on the internet. You have to pay some money for them. But what he does is he compares the spiritual childhood of Therese and of G.K. Chesterton. In fact, he says if Chesterton would have become a religious, he would have been Brother Gilbert of the Child Jesus, just like Therese is Therese of the Child Jesus. But let's see what Therese has to say about the spiritual childhood that can help us too to enter into this way of humility. So she wrote, "I am too small to climb the rough stairway of perfection. I searched then in the scriptures for some sign of this elevator. So a lift, the object of my desires. And I read these words coming from the mouth of eternal wisdom from Proverbs chapter 9. Whoever is a little one, let him come to me." So Therese comments, "The lift, the elevator, if you will, to raise me to heaven is your arms, O Jesus. And for that I have no need to grow up, but rather to stay small, to become smaller and smaller." You see, in today's world, often it's like, I need to be independent. I need to choose my way. I don't need to be dependent upon anyone, including God. That's not the way of spiritual childhood. Spiritual childhood is, I'm a dependent creature. Yesterday we had the blessing of Bishop Reka joining the friars for dinner last night, and I was talking to him about the Eucharistic Congress. He was there, and I was there, and our crew was there, and about Cardinal Tagle's homily, the closing homily for the Mass. And we're both talking about how much we enjoyed that and how profound that homily was. You can find it on our website, by the way. But the thing that Bishop Reka brought up was that Cardinal Tagle quoted the scriptures the way it formally was written. And it was an important passage in his own priesthood. The gift you have received, you are to give as a gift. Today it's written, you've received without cost, and so give without cost. But he liked the former translation. The gift you have received, give as a gift. And so we've received the gift. We're dependent upon God, but that's a wonderful thing because he has our good in mind. And he gave us our very existence as a gift. So our physical nature, our souls, all of this is a gift from God. But then also how we've been redeemed by Christ, the gifts of grace that now we have in Christ, that too is a gift. And we're dependent upon that. But again, this is a good thing. This is a hopeful thing because God has our good in mind. He is all good. He has care for us. We can trust him. We can trust in his providence. One of the things that I wanted to bring out especially was how we find humor in the saints, the lives of the saints, which is a sign of littleness. And John Sayward brings this up in his book about the element of humor and how we find this in the lives of the saints. He said, first, the humor of the saints is the humor of humility. They don't take themselves too seriously. And he quotes St. Paul in 2 Corinthians that he's a fool for Christ. The apostle can laugh at himself because it is Christ, not his self, that is the center of gravity. And then he quotes Chesterton in Orthodoxy. Angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. This has always been the instinct of Christendom. Pride is the downward drag of all things into an easy solemnity. One settles down into a sort of selfish seriousness, but one has to rise to a gay self-forgetfulness. It is much easier to write a good article than a good joke. For solemnity flows out of men naturally, but laughter's a leap. It's easy to be heavy, hard to be light. Satan fell by force of gravity. And Sayward continues, the proud man is too weighed down with self-importance to be humorous. In his own sad mind, he has displaced God as a support of the universe, and each day he has the gloomy task of putting the world on his shoulders. But the saint, in imitation of the self-emptying Son, is unencumbered by self-concern. And so we can fly with the merry angels of God. So two elements of the humor of the saints. The first is humility, and the second is hope. Hope. The enemy is always pessimism. That it's not a hope just that everything's going to turn out well, but it's a hope ultimately. It's a supernatural hope in that God keeps his promises. How sweet to my palate are your promises, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God keeps his promises. That's where my hope is secure. That I one day, as Thomas More would put it, who always had this, you know, good humor, one day we will merrily meet in heaven, is the way that we will put it. He prayed that we would merrily meet in heaven. That's where our hope is, that we will have our true homeland there. This is a way in which we don't fit in the world. And that's something that can give us heart and hope because we're not made to fit into this world. But we're made for the life to come that God has prepared for us. You know, do you know what a dodo is? A dodo. So a dodo is an extinct bird. And the last sighting they had of a dodo bird was around the 1600s. And so it became known as something that really wasn't important, or they were known to be slow and stupid, and so they could be easily caught and they could be killed. And so it was a slang term for someone who was stupid or dull-witted. So here's what Mother Angelica said about her own role at EWTN. God looks for dodos. A dodo doesn't know it can't be done. He's not smart enough to know it can't be done. What you're trying to do, mother, can't be done. God uses dodos. I'm a dodo. So she could laugh at herself, her own inability to bring about this network and all that it would accomplish, because she could be, like Therese put it, she could let Jesus be the arms that would lift this heavy load of this network. And so it is for all of our lives. Not to have that grim putting the weight of the world of on our own shoulders, but looking with trust to God to become small, that Jesus himself became a child. And he exhibited those characteristics that he's pointing out to the disciples. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Samuel, come here. Unless you convert and be like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. But whoever becomes humble like this child will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven.